This episode of How Is Your Run Today is being brought to you by Path Projects. Please visit pathprojects.com. I like your sweatshirt, Brian.
And now, without further ado, here are Brian and Peter.
Brian, hello. I couldn't help but notice George was a little quick on the intro today. He's a little tight.
Well, you know, everybody I know is vaccinated, and we don't need to stay 6 feet apart or wear masks so much anymore. It's kind of fantastic.
And
it's
yet,
kind of wonderful.
And yet I look at you through a window on my computer from far away. We're not next to each other, but I mean, it looks like we're next to each other. It sounds like we're next to each other. Who cares?
Well, I mean, in some ways it's a convenience for us to do it by Zoom. In other ways, you know, I'm a prickly person, and it's not nice to be in the same room with me all the time.
No, it's not, and I'm sick of you, and we've been doing this far too long.
Hey. And I didn't shower the entire pandemic, so I don't blame you for wanting to be away.
But that's why you're half an inch taller.
That's right. It's the crust.
It's the crusty edge. Now, big announcement. We made it to summer, Brian. It's officially summer now.
Oh, my goodness. I did not do the summer solstice run. I didn't go and run for 77 hours or however long that day is, which happened to be Father's Day, I believe, this year on Sunday. I did a lot.
Just the way it fell, the technical thing was on Father's Day, but really the 21st, of course, was observed as the first day of summer and all that. And
yeah,
you could have split the difference depending on your own personal schedule. But no, I managed to lay down for 17 hours, which is not easy to do. You got to really plan that. And you have to.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to run from sunup to sundown, I'm keeping it to the shortest day of the year.
That's probably smart, which I can't wait to see happen again. But let's not rush it. That's 6 months away.
Oh, yeah. I'm not thinking about snow and cold and short days yet. No, we're in the midst of summer. Summer's a time to take advantage of outside, of warmth, and to do things you don't do during the fall and winter.
And hopefully, after having last year's summer be a bit, what's the word I want? Terrifying. Perhaps this summer will be a summer. Like, we'll get a real summer.
That's right.
So what does that mean for us, Brian? What does that mean for the show?
Well, we are going to do that. We're going to take advantage of the summer, and we are going to temporarily cease production of new episodes.
In the business, it's called a hiatus, Brian.
Yeah, I call it a vacation.
We're taking a small hiatus. It's going to be fine.
It's not only summer. There's lots of things going on. You and I are both incredibly busy in our non-podcast lives, even more than we have been in the past.
That's true.
And we don't have a pandemic holding us back from doing all sorts of other activities. So we're going to take the summer off. Yeah, you know, Peter, actually, fall, September is a great time to come back to it because it's a busy, especially in the running world, because we have New York Marathon, we have the Boston Marathon being run in the fall this year, and lots of people will be getting back into it. Of course, you know, those races are fine.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, they're huge, but they're not the one we're thinking about right now.
No, the year ends, of course, in Northern Maine, in a little town called Millinocket, where the Crankle 2K will be held this year. And you know, that's really the story arc for the autumn. So September, October, November, and the beginning of December, I think that's when you're going to want to listen to this show. And if anything happens over the summer, we'll talk about it then. We know, of course, our friend Lori Michener, Coach Lori, Flat Lori, Lori Sandaler, will be sweating a lot in Death Valley, running Badwater 135 with 100 or 99 of her closest friends. So we'll want to talk about that and the recap of that.
I can't wait for that.
When we return. So if that doesn't wet your whistle from your crew throwing ice cubes at you as you're jogging
out of a hatchback,
literally boiling asphalt in the middle of the desert as you run day and night and day and night, that should wet your whistle.
I can't believe you just mentioned both Millinocket and the Crankle. And there were no sounds, but that's okay. I mean, I get it. You're doing a thing. You're waiting. But so many people on the edge of their seats right now. But it's fine. You're in control. I'm just here to help you out.
Peter, you know when you change things up, there's a word for that.
Trendsetter.
Nobody wants that one. No one wants that sound effect ever. They don't. They would rather have Salad Angel.
Trendsetter.
Nope. Salad Angel is beloved and requested often. I had a giant salad yesterday. It was very good.
Was it?
No, I had a burrito instead. You watched me eat it.
Well, then you need a visit.
A visit to what?
Come on, break.
Peter, I have a question for you.
I am here and I'm ready.
How was your run today?
Well, thank you for asking, Brian. That's very nice of you to inquire after a short break we had there where you didn't ask me for a while. I ran, the last time I ran was, we're recording this on Thursday, the day we're releasing it, which is rare for us. I think my last run was Monday, Sunday. And then I had a spin bike ride the next day. It was terrific. And then I paddled with you yesterday. That was really good. So I've been active, but the run itself was a 5K. That seems to be my new mode. Just go out there and bang a 5K out. It was one of my faster times, to be honest, and I don't really know what it was. I think it was because I took 3 to 4 days off before that with no running, just some walking. So I'm just listening to my body, man, like we've always said, and I'm trying to watch the food intake and all that. The secret now is my left foot allows me to run, but it doesn't want to run more than, say, 40 minutes, maybe an hour. I haven't gotten to that place where, you know, even 5 miles is a wise idea yet. And I can't account for it. It feels good most of the time. It really does. But there are some times where I'm barefoot after a long period of time and it does hurt. So I have to be careful. And I don't necessarily want to go back to the doctor just yet because it's not any worse. In fact, it's extremely better. But it's I just have to be mindful of it. And that's really the biggest reason why the idea of the Father's Day walk was just thrown out the window so early. Because anything like that, any large, arduous, time-consuming, you know, +2 hour, +3 hour thing that I would try right now, it would be a mistake. It would just set me back months and months and months, if not a whole year. And I, you know, the whole point of what we said earlier is we want to try to enjoy the summer. And we ran a ton of miles last summer. We were just talking about that. You and I were just talking about that. And it was really helpful for mental health and for getting through sort of this large crisis we've all sort of experienced, this mass feeling of being lost. And right now, other things are coming back online. And this is, you have the same experience. This is the last summer I have with my son before the whole college thing will start up because he's going to be a senior next year in September. And I don't know what his summer will be like next year because he probably has to work quite a bit and make some money because I'm not paying for college. I don't think anybody is paying for college, right? Do we have to worry about college funds?
Why, is it expensive?
No, I don't think it's that. I think the government has figured out a thing where it's near free and they've forgiven all student loans. So it's fine.
That would be nice.
But you know, time is short. So for right this minute, I can't be the person who takes the next 3 months or 4 months to train for something that's so, I just can't do it. I can't afford that time this minute. That doesn't mean I won't ever do it. I think I'm going to soon be at a place where I could just do that a lot. You know, that's part of the power decade of the 50s that you and I were talking about in a previous show.
Some of the best people around were born in 1971. There were no TVs or telephones then. No one knew how to run. Things have really come along. It's better every year. So, Peter.
I think we're going to have oodles of time, but I don't want to miss this window of opportunity now to do a lot of different things over the summer. And I think you feel the same.
I do. And you know, what helped was to run a mountain race that completely destroyed me in every way, physically, mentally, and emotionally, spiritually, virtually, IRL.
I'm not.
My social media accounts ended. My sneakers exploded. The only thing I have left are my Path Project clothing.
Well, they look good.
Because they last forever. Yeah, no, that race destroyed me. I'm not too proud to say it. And
I'm not going to lie to you, man.
I didn't take all of that training and that experience and then just keep building on it. I just let it just let it melt me down into the earth. And so I've run about four times, I think, since then. But now I feel like I'm coming back. Like you said, I've run more and more consistently over the last year and a half than I ever have in my whole life. And I think it was just time for a break. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. I've lost a little fitness, I'm sure. But hey, look, on the good side, November Project is back in person. And so I'm very excited to wake up early on Wednesday mornings and go to the stadiums. That's been fun. Actually, Andrea and both of my kids have been to the stadium in the last month. Kate went first. Skylar came with me yesterday.
Is that a first that all four of you went?
Well, no, there's never. I don't think there's ever been a time all four of us have gone.
Oh, everybody I see. Comes two different times, yeah.
separately or on different Wednesdays. Hey, shout out to longtime listener Jennifer, who I met on the stairs, and she was like, "Are you Peter or Brian?" Well, I'm one of them.
Yeah. What did her face kind of fall a little bit when you said you were Brian?
Yeah. She's like, "Oh, darn it."
Right.
I wanted the funny guy.
That's not true at all. And I will say that I'm so glad finally someone thought maybe you were me. Because it's always the other way around. It's always the other way. My mom sometimes isn't sure.
Yeah.
Like when I call. She's like, "Oh, hey, Brian."
Hey, Brian. I was just listening to you on your podcast, Brian.
thanks for having my son on your show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Of course, I was also spent a lot of time walking up and down those steps with the great author and athlete Caleb Danilov.
I was just thinking about Caleb the other day.
The man who changed this show forever by introducing us to Brogan and Boyan, the founders of NP, and really got us out there interviewing more people. And of course, his personal story, which he writes about eloquently and hilariously in Running Ransom Road, really, I think, turn this podcast into us selfishly just talking about ourselves to turning it out and asking other people about their stories and what running means to them and all of that. In any case, not to get too serious, it was great to see Caleb. And also, we talked about a couple of potential running adventures, one that I want to do, one that he wants to do, and one we may even do together. We'll find out in the future.
I love the intrigue. I want to just take a step back and say that watching you run your mountain Chikorawa race scared me. I got frightened and tired and maybe a little dehydrated, and I was assaulted by a tick on my mm-hmm. drive home. And, but I was incredibly impressed, and, it's not a race I ever want to do. And I'm not too sure I ever want to go there again, to the White Mountains in any way.
I think you do.
I know.
It's quite lovely.
No, I think I would hike it for sure, but yeah. Boo. And, even the people who finished no one looked good finishing that race. Not even close, yeah. Not even close. So, I think it's great that you've taken a little bit of time for yourself. You look fabulous. We, as I mentioned, we went in a canoe yesterday and paddled around for 2 hours, and I didn't do any work. You did all the work in the back. You were the motor, because you have such unbelievable strength, fortitude, and grit.
Thank you for saying that.
Can I borrow $150 from you?
Yeah.
wait a second.
I don't know where that came from.
It well, just I mean, I could say a couple things. I recently acquired a collection of Star Wars collectibles, real deal, vintage. Like, I know the provenance, like real deal, 78 to 83.
Originals, baby.
Yeah, the real deal Kenner stuff. And it was from my friend Jenna, hi, Jenna, if you're listening to the show, thank you so much. You wouldn't let me pay you money. That's so awful. I'm going to have to buy you coffee or tea or scones. Her mom was cleaning out the family home and said, what do you want me to do with this giant box of stuff? I'm throwing it away. And she said, I actually know a guy who's really into it. Let me call Pete Villa. And we met over Memorial Day weekend, and she gave me this huge box of her childhood. And I was so thankful. And the stuff is great. I will cherish it. And it makes me so happy that she did that. But the best part of it is that it came in a giant, easily 3x3 box, cardboard box, that was from 1989. And the way I know it's from 1989 is because on the outside of it, in like a waybill carrier, were L.L. Bean mini catalogs from the summer of 1989. So clearly, the summer of 89 or 90, this is when they packed all the stuff away and put it away while she went to college. And I looked through the catalog. I brought it to you. We looked through it. I couldn't get over sort of the moment in time capture, the nostalgia of what L.L. Bean was in 1989. And I'm kind of blown away by how many of the products are still current now.
Those crew neck sweaters never go out of style.
Or
if they were ever in style, I don't know.
But it's very interesting to look at the prices. I don't know. There was just something about it.
The prices were all over the place. Some of them seemed incredibly low, mm-hmm. you know, like $13 for a shirt or something like that. But some of the others seemed either high or sort of equal to what they would be now. It's hard to tell. It's also, who knows the quality of the clothes or the items now and then. You know, back then in the 80s, certainly L.L. Bean was known for very high quality. In fact, they had the guarantee where if anything went wrong with any product that they sold, they would fix it or replace it for no charge.
That's right. And we were also talking about how they didn't have a whole lot of competition in that space, right? I mean, that was one of the few places you could go and acquire, I don't know, certain kind of Docksiders or a backpack, a certain kind of backpack.
Yeah, I mean, they're camping. I mean, they're a hunting and fishing store in their beginning, you know, in their origins, of course. And that was, they were so unique because they were open 24 hours, 365, right? So you could wander into the main, out of the main woods and, you know, buy a new pair of snowshoes if you needed to. And then they expanded out into clothes and things like that. And you're right, there weren't that many other similar options. You know, brands like Eddie Bauer and Orvis and North Face and Patagonia, some of those existed certainly in 89, but everybody was a lot smaller. And things like fast fashion and manufacturing in Asia was much, much smaller percentage of what they were doing. And that all changed in the next 20 years or so.
Right. And the original Banana Republic was out there, but they were doing such a different kind of gear. And those catalogs were beautiful. I would kill to have one of those. Did you ever have those in the early mid 80s? The sort of all sketched out, almost like some of them were like watercolors and some of them were like.
Oh, really? No, that doesn't ring a bell. I did stumble upon an old J. Crew catalog, which is funny because it's basically the none of the clothes have changed.
Right, right.
Sort of like the preppy handbook has not changed over the years. Of course, the Gap sold some similar clothes, you know, jeans and T-shirts and Oxford shirts and things like that. But L.L. Bean, you know, was also really well known for the gear. Of course, they sold bicycles and, again, hunting and fishing and camping gear and things like that.
And what was that thing on the cover? You mentioned it. It was the postage paid thing.
Oh, my goodness. This was the strangest thing. It was the most convoluted way of explaining a very common topic or a simple topic. So it was a sale catalog. And so they had the original price. For example, this bicycle was regular price $350. But right now it was $279 PPD.
PPD? What does PPD mean, Brian?
What does PPD mean? So you'd have to go to the page that explained the little code. What does PPD mean? PPD means post-paid delivery. And then they had to explain what post-paid delivery, which was L.L. Bean pays for shipping and handling. Which, if I understand right, is what we call now free shipping.
Right. It's a ubiquitous thing now. We just all say free shipping. And who really broke that down for us? Who really made that sort of the common thing that wasn't even a thought back then?
Well, it's that online bookseller called Amazon.com.
Right. Oh, they sell books.
Yeah. Well, they used to. I know. Now, okay. I'm going to say something so strange. I thought I had walked into a time warp. Like, I'm not a person who goes often to the mall or to big shopping centers. You know that now they have these, what they call here in New England anyway, lifestyle malls, which is basically a mall except there's no walls. You're outside walking around a parking lot and the stores are on the outside.
On the outside, yeah.
As if we live in Southern California and it never snows or we have bad weather. I don't know.
It's the American attempt at piazzas or plazas, like, right?
Right.
We tried, but we, oops.
So Andrew and I were trying to, we did something. We were trying to have a meal outside, blah, blah, blah. We wind up in this lifestyle mall. We're wandering around, and on the outer edge, we come to a store that is so strange and counterintuitive, I can't understand how it exists. It's a large store, and the name of it is the Amazon.com bookstore.
Shut up.
And I look inside.
That's not real.
Here's the weirdest thing. So Amazon really did come into existence. And one of the things they did was they sold best-selling books at a really low discounted rate.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And they were killing all the local bookstores, small bookstores, and all that kind of stuff. And Barnes & Noble and the big box bookstores, which had become like a place to go. And
like a Borders and whatnot.
Yeah, Borders, all that. They had their own sort of zeitgeist happening. And so Amazon sort of really crushed them in big ways. And now Amazon sells all kinds of stuff, obviously. So here we are, a physical store going back to its roots of selling hardback paper books, which are exactly what they killed in the beginning 30 years ago or 25 years ago, whenever Amazon started.
Yeah.
And it's like the opposite of everything.
Yeah, it's like an eBay.
Because remember,
store.
They invented this machine called a Kindle that was going to end paper books.
Yeah.
And now they're selling hardcover books in a store that looks exactly like a Barnes & Noble's or a Borders.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're recreating the thing they destroyed. It is. I couldn't even go in it. I thought if I went in it, I would see myself in an alternate universe. And well, we might, if we interacted, who knows?
You'd see a digital avatar of yourself.
I thought I was walking into Second Life. Remember that?
No.
If you're living in Second Life, I have something for you.
Oh, Trendsetter.
No. Oh my gosh. That's really why we're not going to do shows this summer. We're going to be really reactivating our Second Life accounts and really going deep. Let me tell you, in Second Life, I can run like an 8:45 mile.
I can run an 8:45 marathon.
This is why we need a break, buddy. I'm just telling you.
Because we're talking about malls?
I mean, we went really crazy just then, so this is fine. I hope everybody has an amazing summer, and I wish that we have a lot of friends that we've met over the last 5.5 years through this show, and I'm so thankful for that. And you know, you see them now all across social media. You see them in person. Thankfully, we're starting to see them in person again. And, you know, we're all coming out of this time, this last year and a half. And we're just in such need of connection and healing and experience. So everybody, please, you know, be kind to yourself, be kind to people around you, and get out there and do what you can that you're comfortable with. And if anyone's listening to us and is even questioning the whole vaccination thing, please just go do it. And if you just do it for all of us, do it for yourself, do it for your friends and family, even if you think it's silly or you don't think you need it. Especially younger people, if there's any younger people listening to the show, which, Brian, by the way, there are not. Everybody's 35 plus.
I'm not sure how many millennials are listening to the show, Peter.
Fast, funny Ellen London, probably not listening because she's very busy with her second child. Congratulations, fast, funny Ellen London. But maybe she's listening. Maybe we'll tag her and she'll be forced to listen. And she'll tell two people who are younger than her to listen to the show.
But, yeah, her two children.
Yeah, exactly.
On Fleek, En Fuego, Caliente. How was your millennial today? How was your avocado toast today? How's Fast Funny Ellen London today?
But get out there. Enjoy the summer. Brian, are you going to enjoy this summer?
I can't wait to take this summer by the horns.
Do you press the horns?
No, you take it by the horns and ride it into the sunset?
Because it's a bull?
I don't know. I'm not so much into the bullfighting analogy. Let's just end that one.
I don't think that's what it means by. Is that what it means by taking it by the horns?
Yeah, you take the bull is charging you, and you take the bull by the horns.
You're ruining that saying now for me. I don't want to think about that.
Well, did you think it was trumpets and saxophones?
No. I figured it was horns of a bull, but like you do a thing where you get up on it and you ride it, or maybe it's like a giant oxen.
Yeah, that's fine.
And you're driving it like a car.
Yeah. You take the bull by the horns, like it's a big thorny issue that's charging at you, and you take control of it. I think that's what that phrase means.
You manhandle the bull.
Yeah, and now you're sort of bringing toxic masculinity into it, and Hemingway, and it's just now it's all I'm not comfortable with it at all. That's what I'm feeling.
This was a good podcast. It was a clean podcast. It was a brightly lit podcast that I witnessed. I was part of this podcast that we were in, and it was good, and it was clear, and we both were on it. Brian and me together, we were on this podcast, and it was good.
I talked to Peter about it. The running was nice.
There wasn't much running for me at this time. But I felt like I was running inside, in my mind, and in my body. The running.
The younger man passed me. I watched him. The sun went down. I stopped running. I ate.
I watched him come off the mountain. He was broken. I decided to use my spin bike. It was good, and it was clean, and it was efficient. And I'll do it again.
I think you nailed it with that one. The Old Man in the Mountain by Peter Hemingway. I think you did it.
No thanks.
I think you did it.
I'm much more of a Fitzgerald guy. I like my...
Like your sentences more than four words?
I like my unreliable narrators and I like my drinking, so...
Well, I mean... There you go. All right, you know what, Peter? I have a little treat for everybody as we go out.
Here goes.
Where's the finish line? Which way to the finish line?
You can't get there from here.
You made me so happy, Brian. Thank you. This has been episode 232 of How Was Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. That music you're hearing is done by our composer, Jeff Cronenberg. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence.
Every Saturday, come to social media. That's Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And join us for our SatStat chat. Tell us where you ran, how the weather was, and please include a sweet, sweet photo.
If you can, take a minute, enjoy our sponsor over at www.pathprojects.com. That's pathprojects.com. Their products are excellent. Their hats are excellent. Their shorts, their baseliners, their shirts, their sweatshirts. They've been making this show possible for the last year. Path Projects.
For everything else, go to www.howisyourruntoday.com or hwyrt.com. You know, if you're missing live new shows, you can always buy something from our Redbubble store. You can watch the Millinocket movie, or you can listen to the 231 other episodes of How Is Your Run Today that exist in the archives of that website.
And I'll tell you what, We haven't gotten so many of those audio messages we were hoping to get. Let's make that the summer of that one, the summer of content coming to us so we can weave them into new shows in the fall. How about that one, Hawartians? Get off your duffs.
Maybe then we're pre-announcing the August challenge, the Chagas challenge. Yeah, send us a voice memo.
We might have to talk.
No, about no, no. I'm announcing it now, Peter.
Chagas challenge is coming. So if you're ready, get ready, because there's going to be a chart. There's going to be tasks. Be ready.
Good day.
I feel like we said too many things that were unrelated to running, but that also would be true for the previous 231 episodes, right? This has been episode 200 and... I don't know.
Peter, it's episode 232.
Is it really?
Yeah. Hosts have been Peter.
I need it again. I need it again. We have to do it. We have to do that bit again.
Trendsetter.
I'm gonna miss that. Not really at all. I don't know a good place to, I don't know. Let me say something like, I'm just gonna ask you how your run was. So that's, I thought the last way we left, the way we left it yesterday was like, I suggested that. You're like, I don't want to make new shows.